Was Christ 3 days and three nights in the grave? An article by Mike Vinson, located in the Frequently Asked Questions section of the IWWB site. Mike, I've been praying that God will give me complete understanding about the 3 days and three nights. I believe God has put this on my mind for a reason. Lately, God is pouring out much understanding to me. With that said, with all my asking Him to show me, He keeps giving me more to prove Christ died on Wednesday and was raised from the dead on Saturday. Jesus and His disciples ate the Passover the previous evening. The next day, being the first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day Sabbath, Mark 9:31, for He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him, and after that He is killed, He shall rise the third day. This tells me that after He is killed, He will rise the third day. John 11:9, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. So this tells me that there are 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in a night. So if Jesus was within the tomb 3 days and three nights, it had to be 72 hours. I remember you saying that in John 19:31, that on this high day Sabbath, that they hadn't eaten the Passover yet. But verse 30 was when He gave up the ghost. So they had eaten the Passover already. Then Luke 24:1 says, Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, they came to the sepulchre, and we know the tomb was empty. Yes, because Jesus had already been resurrected on Saturday evening, exactly 3 days and three nights, a full 72 hours in the tomb. I hope you don't think that I'm arguing with you. I'm just craving to understand correctly. Any information that you could give me would be greatly appreciated, being in the tomb a full 72 hours. Matthew 20:1, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles, to mock and to scourge, and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again. This tells me that after He was crucified, He will rise 3 days later. Hi, R. It sure was good getting to meet you. In your conclusion, you say, I hope you don't think that I'm arguing with you. I am just craving to understand correctly. Any information you could give me would be greatly appreciated, being in the tomb a full 72 hours. Matthew 20:1, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again. This tells me that after He was crucified, He will rise 3 days later. If any of us crave anything other than what is the truth, then we are coming to God's Word with an idol of the heart, and God will show us just what we want to see. So it is of utmost importance that we beg God to take away any preconceived notions about what is His truth, and allow us to see the things of the Spirit, because this is the truth about God's Word, John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you have read much of what I write, you know why I keep pointing people to that verse in John 6. The reason is that, as I've said on so many occasions, God's Word does not mean what it says. If it meant what it said, then Christ would be a four-footed barnyard animal called a lamb, or He might be a four-footed lion. But generally, we know and understand that the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is Christ. And we generally know and understand and accept that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Christ. Christ is called the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. He is referred to as a foundation. He's called the chief cornerstone. He's called the root of the olive tree, the Word, etc., etc. The point is that Christ's words, or words about Christ, do not mean what they say. They do rather mean what they mean. For those with eyes to see, Christ's words are spirit. And when it comes to the words 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, this is especially true. Now I'm going to go down through your letter and insert the scriptures you refer to just to see if they actually say what you've stated. I pray that God has given me the ability to see that any desire to prove myself right will, without a doubt, be painfully burned out of me. And I pray He has given me the ability to know that the longer I hold to an idol of my heart, the more painful will be that burning process. I have no doubt that you feel the same. So let's first go through your letter and see what is there. I have emboldened those words because I want you to see that this leaves very little room for discussion if you believe what you think is Christ could be what appears to be a messenger, an angel of light, when in reality it's nothing more than a false doctrine. Try the spirits is nothing more than an admonition to search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Those spirits are doctrines. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, i.e. doctrine, but try the spirits, the doctrines, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. False prophets are false prophets because they have and teach false doctrines. So if I search God's word and find where I've been wrong in my teachings, and I have done so on more than one occasion, then I had better put truth ahead of pride and conform my teachings to His image. You write, being in the tomb a full 72 hours, Matthew 20, verse 1, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. This tells me that after he was crucified, he will rise 3 days later. If Christ rose on the third day, then he could not have been in the grave 72 hours. If Christ were in the grave 72 hours, then he would have risen on the fourth day. Now with that in mind, consider what some of Christ's disciples had to say about what is the third day. Let's just go through Luke 24 and see what we're told is the third day. Verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, the women who had witnessed Christ's crucifixion, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now you and I agree that the first day of the week is Sunday. We can both see that Christ was up and gone when the women came to the tomb on the first day of the week, bringing spices which they had prepared. When had they prepared these spices? Here is what you say. Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover the previous evening, the next day being the first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day Sabbath. Now here is also what you say. He keeps giving me more to prove Christ died on Wednesday and was raised from the dead on Saturday. If, as you say, Christ died on Wednesday, and Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover the previous evening, the next day being the first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day Sabbath, then here is what you're saying. Christ ate the Passover Tuesday night, was crucified Wednesday, and died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the day of the Passover. The next day would then be Thursday, which would be the first day of the days of unleavened bread, and would indeed be a high day Sabbath. The next day would be Friday, and this day would not be a Sabbath, and the women could buy spices and prepare them to put on Christ's body Sunday morning. That is what we were all taught in the worldwide Church of God. but we simply never bothered to try to mesh this doctrine with these words, which were spoken late Sunday evening, right at sunset. Luke 24, verses 19 through 22. And he, Christ, said unto them, i.e. the two men on the road to Emmaus, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Christ specifically asked Cleopas and his friend, what things? They specifically answer, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Then they tell us all, today is to the third day since these things were done. This is late Sunday evening, after the women had already come to the tomb early that same day. Here is the proof. Luke 24, verses 12 and 13. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. What day is that same day? It is Sunday, the first day of the week. So where does that leave a Wednesday crucifixion? Sunday would be the fifth day since these things were done if Christ had died at 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. But Sunday is not the fifth day. Sunday, according to two men who were not strangers to what was happening, was the third day since these things were done. Now let's read the rest of Luke 24 with a desire only to know what says the scriptures. Luke 24, verses 2 through 24. And they, i.e. the women on Sunday morning, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they, i.e. the women, were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, the angels, said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today, i.e. Sunday, is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early, i.e. today is the third day, at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us, i.e. Peter and John, went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, i.e. early on the morning of today is the third day. But him they saw not. You continue in Mark 9:31, For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. This tells me that after he is killed, he will rise the third day. The men on the road to Emmaus had the view that the third day included more than just the things which occurred after he is killed. Here is what they included in the things which occurred during the time which they say led up to Sunday being the third day since these things were done. In verse 20 of Luke 24. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Obviously, the phrase in heart of the earth does not accord with after he was killed. In the heart of the earth is a parable. It must be so simply because of the audience to whom this parable is addressed. In Matthew 12, verses 38 to 40, Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now what is the one thing we know about Christ's words when he spoke to the multitudes and to the Pharisees? Matthew 13:34, All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. So whatever is meant by the phrase 3 days and 3 nights, it is still a parable, because without a parable spake he not unto them. 3 days and 3 nights is a parable. The words I speak unto you are spirit. We cannot take words which were plainly told do not mean what they say and try to make them mean what they say. The words 3 days and 3 nights mean what they mean. They do not mean what they say. And what does so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth mean? The first question we need to ask is, what does the number 3 mean? We have a study on the webpage which demonstrates how the scriptures show that 3 is used in scripture to demonstrate the process of maturing and coming to completion. Luke 13:32, And he said unto them, Go you and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. The Greek word completed. If we tremble at what Scripture says, then we would notice that Christ said that he would be completed on the third day, not after the third day. He was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, but he was perfected on the third day. Read the study notes and listen to the audio on the number three. Then, if you still have questions about what this word means, please ask. The next question we need to ask in order to understand this parable about 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth is, what is the earth in this parable? Here is what is meant whenever you see the word earth in Scripture. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Notice how many times God uses the word earth in this verse, pleading with his own people to hear his words. Yes, earth is always referring to God's own wayward and rebellious people. Earth is a reference in particular to those who were to crucify and to kill God's own Son and their own Messiah. Earth is you and me as guilty of the blood and body of Christ when we are at that point. Since these things were done is a reference to what happened to Christ while he was in the earth, in the heart of the earth, while he was being tormented and crucified and finally killed by what Jeremiah called, O earth, 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 in Jeremiah 22:29. You continue. John 11, verse 9, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. So this tells me that there are 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in a night. So if Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, it had to be 72 hours. These words were spoken to the Pharisees, so this too is a parable. Without a parable spoke he not unto them. Christ is not dwelling on the obvious. He's talking about walking in the day. The word day has nothing to do with 12 literal hours of daylight. It's a parable about living a life in the truth of God's word, as opposed to believing the lies of the established church. This has no more to do with literal days than does 3 days and three nights in the parable of 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Nowhere in Scripture are we told Christ was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. What we are told is this, Matthew 12, verse 40, For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Again, Christ's words are spirit. John 6:63, It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You continue, I remember you saying that in John 19, verse 31, that on this high day Sabbath, that they hadn't eaten the Passover yet. But verse 30 was when he gave up the ghost, so they had eaten the Passover already. The they I was referring to were the chief priests and the Pharisees. I was not referring to Christ and his disciples. Here is John 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now here's the verse to which I was referring in John 18, verse 28. Then led they, Jesus, from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The Passover was on the evening of the first day of the days of unleavened bread. Just look at the words with which Scripture treats this whole season. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover? And in Luke 22, verses 6 and 7, And he, Judas, promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Now you and I both agree that Christ ate the Passover early in order to be sacrificed on the day of the offering of the Passover lamb. So here we have the scriptures calling that day before the Passover, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We need to be aware that the entire season is referred to in scripture as the days of unleavened bread, and not just the 7 days in which unleavened bread was not to be eaten. The Jews did not wait to the very last minute to get the leavening out of their houses. They overdid everything, and getting leaven out of their houses was certainly no exception. Now let's look at John 9:31 more closely. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The preparation is a reference to preparing for the weekly Sabbath. While John does call this particular preparation the preparation of the Passover, he does so because that Sabbath was also the Passover high day. John 19, verse 14, And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. The preparation of the Passover and the preparation for the weekly Sabbath, by God's design, coincided on this particular year. Here is how this preparation is referred to in all other cases in the Gospels. Matthew 27, verse 62. Now the following day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. The preparation is a reference to the day before the weekly Sabbath and comes from these verses in Exodus, chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Does John 19:31 say the high day? No, it says the Sabbath day. And it says that it was the preparation. It would make no sense at all to say, now that high day was a high day. That's utterly redundant. But if the annual Passover, which was on the 14th day of the first month, had ever happened to fall on a weekly Sabbath, then it would make perfect sense to say the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, i.e. for the weekly Sabbath, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that weekly Sabbath day was also a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. If Christ died at 3 p.m, as we are told, then the women would have had plenty of time to go and purchase and prepare spices. Friday, after 3 p.m. They certainly would not have waited until after the weekly Sabbath to do something that they could do that very day. The Passover falling on a weekly Sabbath, Thursday, would have been the day on which this verse took place. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover? Thursday evening would have been when Christ ate the Passover with his disciples and told them that one of them would betray him. Thursday evening would have been the day when Christ and his three disciples went into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ prayed till his sweat became his blood. Thursday night was the night that Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. It was the night when Christ was beaten and abused on the second floor of the residence of the high priest, while Peter watched it all from the courtyard below. It was just before daybreak, as the cock crowed for the second time, that Peter disowned his Lord with an oath and caught the eyes of Christ upon him as he did so. Then it was early Friday morning when, after an entire night of abuse, they took Christ to Pilate and would not enter the judgment hall lest they be defiled and could not eat the Passover, because that weekly Sabbath just happened to fall on an annual holy day. That Sabbath was a high day. John 19, verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that weekly Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. What I told you was Christ and his disciples actually ate the Passover early so that he could be offered on the very day on which the Passover lamb was slain. What I told you was that the chief priests and the Pharisees would not enter the judgment hall because they would have been defiled and could not have eaten the Passover. John 18, verse 28. Then led they, i.e. the chief priests and the Pharisees, Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The Jews had not yet eaten the Passover. Clearly Christ and his disciples had eaten the Passover early. Christ had been observing the Passover for 32 years, at the same time as the rest of the nation of Israel, and he had never before done this. If I said anything that led you to believe that I did not know that Christ and his disciples had already eaten the Passover, please forgive me. I know that Christ and his disciples had finished eating the Passover before he was apprehended, but the priests and the Pharisees had not yet eaten the Passover. You continue, the way I see things now is that Christ was crucified on Wednesday, the very day of the Passover. Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover the previous evening. Here you agree with me that Christ ate the Passover early so that he could be offered on the day that the Passover was offered. But a Wednesday crucifixion would make Sunday 5 days since these things, instead of today is the third day since these things. You continue, the next day being the first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day Sabbath. Then Mark 16:1 is true, that when that high day Sabbath had passed, they went and bought spices. Now let's look at Mark 16 verse 1 and see if it really says that when that high day Sabbath had passed, they went and bought spices, your words. Here now is Mark 16 verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Nowhere in that verse do we read that when the high day Sabbath had passed, they went and bought spices. Does that verse not rather say that when the Sabbath was past, they came to anoint Christ with the spices that they had bought? And when did they come to anoint him? On what day of the week is Mark 16:1 taking place? In Mark 16, verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, i.e. early Sunday morning, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. You continue, then Luke 32:56 says they returned and prepared the spices they had just bought and then rested on the weekly Saturday Sabbath according to the commandment. Amen, brother. Here is that passage, Luke 23:54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. While this particular Sabbath was a high day, it does not say the Passover drew on. The emphasis is on the weekly Sabbath, the very first feast mentioned in Leviticus 23:1-3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. There were only two feasts in which absolutely no work of any kind was permitted. That was the weekly Sabbath and the Day of Atonement. Of both of these days it is written, You shall do no work therein. Of all the other feasts we read, No servile work therein. Here is what is said of the Passover immediately after what was instructed concerning the weekly Sabbath in Leviticus 23:5-7. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. The Hebrew word for servile means service. There was to be no service work during the high days. But if any high day fell on a Sabbath, there was to be no work therein. What we are told is that the women bought spices and returned and prepared spices and rested the Sabbath according to the commandment. Luke 23:55-56. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. You continue. Then Luke 24:1 says, Upon the first day of the week, i.e. Sunday, they came to the sepulchre, and we know the tomb was empty. Yes, because Christ had already been resurrected on Saturday evening, exactly 3 days and three nights, a full 72 hours in the tomb. Either the world is wrong, or else the two disciples on the road to Emmaus were wrong, and Christ didn't even bother to straighten them out when they told him today, i.e. Sunday, the day of the wave sheaf offering on the morrow of the weekly Sabbath, is the third day since these things were done. Luke 24:20-21. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. These things were done includes Christ's apprehension and trial, not just his time in the tomb. I would like to point out that the 14th day at even is actually the beginning of the 15th day, because the day begins at evening and not in the morning. It certainly did not begin as we do today, at midnight. In the Worldwide Church of God, we considered the Passover to be a separate feast from the days of unleavened bread. And indeed it does take place at the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, and not in the middle, and not at the end. But while the eating of the Passover was part of a high day, it was slain and prepared on the 14th day to be eaten after sunset on the 15th. According to this verse, the Passover was eaten on the first day of the days of unleavened bread. John 18:28. And Then led they, i.e. the chief priests and the Pharisees, Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The same scenario is revealed in describing what the Day of Atonement begins, when the Day of Atonement begins, Leviticus 23, verse 27. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So trumpets was the first day of the 7th month, and atonement was the 10th day of the 7th month. But look at how this is described to the people of Israel in Leviticus 23, verses 28 through 32. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month, at even, from even unto even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. The 9th day of the month, at even, from even unto even of the 10th day, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. So it was at the Passover. The lamb had to be killed before it could be eaten. One of the most important days of the year, representative of one of the most important events in the history of mankind, and we in WCG did not even consider it to be a high holy day. But it was a high day. And as only the great mathematician himself could work it, that high day also fell on a weekly Sabbath the year that our Lord was crucified. Consequently, the next day was the third day since these things, of which things we are not left to speculate. Luke 24, verses 19 and 20. And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Until we take our eyes off letters and see the spirit behind the letters, like Israel of old, we will still have a veil over our faces in reading God's word. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 and 15. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. I hope you see that Christ's words are spiritual words, which, just like the symbols, type and shadows of the Old Testament, have a meaning far above their literal meaning. I hope you can see that we too must live by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God and present our own bodies as living sacrifices, filling up in our bodies and our own bodies which is behind of the sufferings of Christ, and be perfected on the third day. In closing, I want to list the scriptures where the phrase the third day appears. I will list the scriptures where 3 days and three nights appears. After that, the third day, Matthew 16, verse 31. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Matthew 17, verse 23. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Matthew 20, verse 19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Matthew 27, verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Mark 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Mark 10, verse 34. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Luke 9, verse 22. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Luke 13, verse 32. And he said unto them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Luke 18, verse 33. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Luke 24, 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Luke 24, 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And Luke 24, verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. There they are. It just happens that this phrase appears 12 times in reference to Christ's crucifixion in the Gospels. Now here is a list of how many times the parable of the 3 days and three nights is mentioned. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's the list. That phrase appears but one time. It is said to be a sign which proves Christ's messiahship. If we think that a wicked and adulterous generation is someone besides ourselves, we have once again missed the point of every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is you and I who seek after a sign, but only those who know Christ will even see what is that sign. Christ was not in the tomb 72 hours, but he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights while he was being beaten, scourged, crucified, and killed by his own people. Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is a parable given to the very people who were to be our Lord's murderers. It has nothing to do with a literal 72-hour in a tomb. It does have to do with those who make up what the scriptures call the earth. It has to do with the part which this earth played in carrying out the gruesome events which were foreordained to be accomplished in sacrificing the Son of God for the sins of the whole world. It has to do with each of us and our part in denying and crucifying our Lord as well as all the rest of mankind. 1 John 2 verse 2, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You continue, I hope you don't think I am arguing with you. I'm just craving to understand correctly. Any information that you could give me would be greatly appreciated. I feel the same way. All I want to know is the mind of God and the mind of Christ on this and on any other subject. What I know about the mind of God is that it is never to be understood by taking the words of Scripture at just face value. If that were not so, then anyone could get their concordance and carefully consider the context and understand the deep things of the Spirit. But the truth is that any truth given to any man will not be the results of the efforts of the flesh. Rather, revelation of all truth will always be because flesh and blood has not revealed truth unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. All understanding of all truth is always by divine revelation. Anything less is head knowledge, void of the Spirit of God. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth is no exception to that rule. The timetable of events can easily be followed. The carnal mind itself can see that according to the Scripture, Christ was in the tomb just before sundown Friday, and was up and gone before sunrise Sunday morning. That is 1.5 days at the very most. Nevertheless, he was perfected on the third day, and he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But this is all true in the sense that the damsel is not dead, she only sleeps. They laughed him to scorn because they knew that she was dead, again demonstrating that Christ's words do not mean what they say, they mean what they mean. Mike. And it continues with another letter to another brother. Good morning, Jay. I'm attaching this note to the above letter, which deals with the 3 days and three nights and what that means. This letter also brings many of the verses referring to this period of time together. When you have the time, please look at this and get back to me. I think you will see that the statement made by the men on the road to Emmaus precludes a Wednesday Passover. John 19, verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the weekly seventh day Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Christ was crucified on Friday, was buried just before sunset, and was up and gone before sunrise Sunday morning. And the men on the road to Emmaus tell Christ in Luke 24, verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. What things were done for this man to say that today is the third day since these things were done? Was it simply Christ's time in the grave that was meant by these things? Christ himself asked this very question in Luke 24, verses 18 through 20. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. The third day is, since the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have him crucified. That is the these things which transpired to give this man, Cleopas, the right to say that today is the third day since these things were done. But this conversation between Cleopas and Christ took place shortly before sunset on this third day since these things were done. Christ had risen before sunrise this very same day. Luke 24, verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When were these women at the sepulchre early? We read in verses 1 through 3 of Luke 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. When was Christ talking with Cleopas and his friend? Verses 13 through 15 of Luke 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It was that same day, the first day of the week, very early in the morning. How early is very early in the morning? John 20, verse 1, the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Mary came while it was yet dark, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. And Christ was buried before sunset, on the day before the weekly Sabbath, which weekly Sabbath just happened to be the Passover, making it a high holy day that particular year. John 19, verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So if Christ were buried just before sunset Friday and was up and gone before sunrise on the first day of the week, the very most he could have been in the tomb would be something near one 24-hour period and another 12-hour night, making a total of 36 hours tops. But if the heart of the earth is a parable referring to being in the clutches of his enemies, then we are not even concerned with exactly how long Christ was in the tomb. Christ was addressing the Pharisees when he made this statement in Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. How did Christ speak to the Pharisees and to the multitudes? Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Let me know what you think, Jay. Mike.